Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Hi, welcome to today's episode of Optimize My Life. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm having issues today, but that's okay. We are sponsored by the Hope Collection, which is a non-for-profit organization that has ways to help you improve your life and give you the strength and the power to take those next steps to live a well, happy, secure life. Today we're going to talk about labels. Labels that we live under, labels that we put our kids under, and how having these labels impact the life you live. You know, we talked a little bit about this on Monday's show with veterans. And one of the biggest struggles that we find is coming out of the military. You know, we've been associated with a uniform. Law enforcement, the same thing. Paramedics, firefighters, you know, same with kids. We spend our lives living in a not a bubble, but living with a name tag on or a tag that identifies who we are. And when we lose that, for some of us, we don't know who we are. And we have to learn and figure out who we are without that. And the same thing happens with kids. You know, I've gotten a lot of hate mail or hate, you know, messages or a lot of bad comments because I do have two special gifted kids. And I call them gifted because they're unique. They're autistic and they both are different ways autistic. But my kids don't know that. They know they're different and they were taught that their brains are just wired differently. And it's funny because my daughter always says when her brother's irritating her, which is a normal sibling thing, that we need to take him to the brain surgeon to fix his brain because he's becoming annoying. You know, we have, you know, when we're telling our kids that they have this wrong with them, and as parents, we use it as a crutch to allow behavior that would not be acceptable if they were regular kids. You know, you hear a lot of things that about, you know, this kid, well, he's autistic. He had a fit in the grocery or in Walmart and knocked over some TVs or, you know, things like that. That's not a symptom of autism, having a fit, having a temper tantrum. But we allow that behavior, or a lot of us allow that behavior because they're got this label. In reality, you know, kids have learning disabilities. You know, I finally have a name for my daughters after years of research, trying to figure out, you know, and the only reason I was researching it was to figure out how to help her. And it's called dyscalculia or something like that. And what it means is that she doesn't understand simple things, simple math problems. She can't count to 20 without seeing the numbers. She can't do 2 plus 2. She can't do simple concepts. And the only reason I've been researching it was to figure out how to help her, how to retrain her or give her the learning that she needs, the way that she can learn it to overcome this obstacle. Otherwise, she's going to struggle with life. But she don't know all that. She just knows she's got to work really hard and gets really frustrated because she can't do what other kids do.
I think it's very important, Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
I was going to say, you know, it's kind of like when I was going through my training with hypnotherapy, you know, alcoholics, drug addicts, you know, AA. You know, the first thing is admitting you have a problem, and you state that I'm a drug addict or I'm an alcoholic. When you make that who you are as part of your label or your identity, that's what makes it so much harder to get rid of in life. Now, that's why our drug problems and our alcohol problems are so high, and we always have this repeat, because the more you make that who you are as part of your identity, the harder it is to get rid of, harder to overcome it. It becomes an obstacle.
Absolutely. It's one thing I was going to say, Mary, it's like Dr. Joel Griffin used to always tell us when we were talking and training and coaching and so forth. He would say, we have to help people to rehab their habits, because a lot of the problems that people have in their life because of habits that they've developed over the years, it may be because of things that their parents did that they duplicated, or maybe it's just something they learned dealing with friends and so forth. And habits that come from drug use are very similar in that way. And so I've always told my kids that you got to do first of all, decide what it is you want to do in your life, and once you decide that, then it really doesn't matter too much what other people say or what other people call you or the jokes they make about you or anything like that. It doesn't matter, because if that's your goal and that's your what you want to do in your life, then go for it and try to get whatever help you need from whatever you need. If it's education, if it's experience, whatever it is, go out and get it. And then concentrate on that and focus on that. And I
that's easier said than done. That's easier than done. I just talked to somebody yesterday that I hadn't talked to in well over 10 years. I asked him what he was doing now. He said, I did what my parents wanted me to do, country boy. I made good grades in school. I went off to college. I went in my mom's, not his dad, he went in his mom's footsteps and became a school teacher. I said, well, what was your major? He said, English. I didn't want to laugh in his ear. I didn't want to laugh, but I couldn't hold it back, because here in the great America, 90% of the people that I know, I don't know who you know, speak English. And most of them are bilingual. So before the corona shut him down, following somebody else's footsteps, he was out of a job. I spent over $1 million on my education, college education, especially training. But you know how much I paid to learn how to speak English? Wait. I got a better one. It's called the Darwin, Darwin theory. Mary talked about it. It's kind of like animal conditioning. Here's my curveball, but I'm going to throw it straight down the center. Watch this. So as a man thinketh, I forgot to tell you, man has no gender. We're equal in essence, we're just different in function. So is a man / woman thinker, so is he. The power of the human mind. But we didn't plan it this way. We was born into this world not even knowing our own name. We had to go by what people called us. Oh, man, guess what my nickname was when I was a young fella? Chubby. Mary, guess what her nickname is? Speedy. Guess what my other, they call my other friend? Bubba. Guess
mine
what they
was
call?
String bean. Mine was, my nickname was String Bean. Because I was tall and skinny. Yeah, they all called me String Bean.
But so people.
And that was Mighty Oak.
Now watch this. I have the audacity to look at you. You shouldn't judge one. I have the audacity to look at you, shouldn't judge one, and see what name, watch this now, name brand clothes you're wearing. Question, don't all brands, name brands, have names? So if it's not Nike, it's not Reebok, it's not Zoop, 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 then you're not fashionably correct. Oh. Some people wear name brands. They think that's who they are. There's some people that wear name brands every day, and they can't tell you what their name is. Oh, over here at church, he's Deacon Willie. On the internet, he's, oh, well, I won't tell you what his internet name is. We wear name labels whether we want them or not. They used to call me Big Head, and I go crying. Last one, Mary, I used to go running, crying to my grandmother. She said, what's the matter, baby? I said, they called me out of my name. She said, what did they call you? Big Head. She said, well, baby, you know, it takes a big head to hold a lot of brains. You should be smarter than that to let somebody insult you. If they didn't call you by your name, Oakman, I nicknamed you. What's your name? Robert. Bob. Mr. They call me country boy, playboy, mama's boy, water boy. If you don't have no respect for me, you just call me boy. Names. Go back to you, Mary.
You know, we're talking about all this stuff. Here's a staggering statistic. 95% of what you have learned is learned by external forces. It's learned from your parents. It's from your community, from TV, from internet now. But only 5% of that, of what you learn and how you react and what you do, is based off of genetics. So, you know, as we talked, you know, last week on bullying, we talked about, you know, different things throughout the last couple of weeks. 95% of what your kids do is done because of their environment, from school to home. Out of that 95%, 85% of that is based on what they've learned at home. Conflict resolution. How you interact with each other is all learning when you're at home.
Mary, I was listening to, Oakman, I sent the clip to you and I sent it to Mary. I was listening to one of my old talk radio shows well over 10 years ago. Her name is Joyce Barry, connected to Burl Walk and Joel. Joel and I used to be on Joyce's show too. She calls herself the white Oprah Winfrey of talk radio. Until we came along, Mary, and took her title, Joyce Barry had more listeners on Blog Talk Radio than anybody on the network. And my subject on there was, is love enough? But in the process of understanding that, you just said it, Mary, you're not born with love in your DNA. You would think that he made you in his own image, and to each one a measure of love is given. But when we enter and took us and came out of the spirit into the human flesh form, one cannot do what one has not been taught. Somebody showed you how to walk. Somebody showed you how to talk. Somebody showed you how to ride a bat. If I ask 10 men today, can they swim? Probably 7 out of 10 would tell me no. And they were born a natural. Now, this is something, a natural born swimmer. Why? Because they rehearsed. They said anything you do more than seven times becomes habit. You swim around in your mama's belly for 9 months. So he's a natural born swimmer until, I'm sorry, grandmama. Grandma said, don't you go near that water, Bob. You'll drown. And now you're 48 years old thinking you can't swim because somebody feared you, false evidence appearing real, landed right between the most powerful force in the universe is the power of the human mind. So as a man thinketh, so is he. You thought all these years that you couldn't swim because somebody put a non-swimmer label on your forehead. Last one, Mary. When you're in the military, Mary's been labeled. You've heard me talk about her. I call her a prayer warrior. That's a label. Then I turn right back around and call her out of her name again. Mom. She's not my mom. But I just said she's a super mom. Put an adjective in front of it. She's a veteran label. If you're in sports, they say, oh, we got a label for a guy. He's one of our partners. We call him Captain Lynn Kane. Oh, we got a label for another guy hangs out with us. President Ron Clayton. All these are categories on how people label you. And when they came up with superpower children, who didn't know what to do, haven't been diagnosed, they're not normal, they don't think like regular people, they get upset, you can't touch them, you can label them and throw them in a room, in a big pile, if they don't act like the rest of the kids. That's what we're facing now. We've been doing something for years that's not working simply because somebody put a label on it. Stop
you know,
here.
You brought up an interesting point, love, and if you're born with it or not. What they have learned through research and trial and error and testing is that babies are actually born with empathy and compassion. Have you ever noticed you put a bunch of babies in a room, one cries, they all cry? They, through studies, they have taken mothers and pretended to bang their knee or get hurt. And you can look in the baby's, a newborn baby's face, and they will show concern. And they'll look around a little bit to see what's going on. The problem we're having is we're going through this study of in research about, you know, is it better to self-soothe? Is it better to, you know, the old theory was, you know, if you hold your baby too much, you spoil them. What they're finding out is kids that are self-soothed, their empathy part of their brain doesn't evolve as fast as kids that are held more, talked to more, played with more. Other parts of their brain don't develop as fast or as much when they're not taken care of with the attention that they should have, that we used to give them. You know, moms used to look at the old movies. You know, moms used to carry that kid everywhere they went. They're doing laundry.
Family time. Family time, dinner time, study time. There was more group. You say you learn it from home. That's why all the experts that ran all the statistics said that this person turned out better because they came from a strong family environment. This kid is not going to make it because they came from a dysfunctional home. Now, please understand, it will never stop people labeling. I spent 40-plus years of my life working with AtlantaChildren.org. 99% of the kids that come through my program are foster kids. No home environment, the time they 3 to 4 years of age, time they reach 12 to 14 years of age, they've been the 6 to 8 different foster homes. You think the little guy is 10 years old now and has the audacity to tell Bob, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my daddy. But, yeah, you're sleeping in my house, and I just paid you dinner and bought you some new clothes. So what happens in the process is we get labeled whether you want to be labeled or not. It's just part of the way American systems, and then we flip to Christian side, religious side going over, and have the audacity to say, oh, you shouldn't judge nobody. Well, what are you supposed to do? Just walk around with your ignorance? You know, the last part of that, Mary, in this process of judging people that don't wear name brand clothes, that came up and was born in an unstable environment, that was born on the wrong side of the tracks, we're connecting everything that you need to get you right back on track. You've heard me preach it before. They said, where's your church at in me? It's truly a blessing to be a blessing. And what we've seen, you guys, if you want to, I've never called anybody stupid, but if you want to reference that Webster Dictionary, stupidity means this, to do something and it doesn't work and continue to do it over and over and over again, and it's still not working, but you continue to do it the same way. If we took away all of our titles, oh, I was the president, oh, I was the captain, oh, if you took away your shields and your diplomas and your certificates and your plaques and your awards, I got a question for you. Who are you really? I know you've told me what you do. I may have done what they said I did, but that's not really who I am. So if we took away all the labels and away all the nicknames, last part, I can drop this one like it's really cool. There is no one like you. In the South, I always say, ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do what you do. Here's the last part. So as a man thinking, you said it earlier, old man, if I think that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then I'm telling the truth. If you listen to what other people say about you and they say, you can't do that, and you believe them, you're telling the truth. Last one, granddaddy's talking now. Country boy, yep. Yes, sir. He says you cannot control what no one else thinks. You cannot control what no one else says about you. And you cannot control what no one else does. You can only control what you do. So you have to turn that spotlight down off of what everybody's saying about you, because ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do, what you do. And we feel so honored and privileged to be able to do anything with you. Last label, we call you super friends. Yeah. We're super friendly, we're super kind, but we work together to help bless humankind. And we've been fortunate enough, because of Joel Griffin's vision, we've taken the best of the best from the North, the South, the East, and the West, and we'll allow every single person to come in and love their very, very, very best, because now that we've done that, we've taken every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, all labeled, to come together for a better world. Back to you, Mary.
Amen.
You know, when we give our kids labels, or we take what label society has given our kids, you know, that affects who they are and how they develop. You know, I always use Olympic gymnast Seven Beals as an example when I talk about the things. So she was a foster kid. She had everything against her in life, and she decided she did not want those labels. She decided that she was going to do what it took to be who she was. And she got the benefit of, you know, being able to work very hard to be where she was. And bad things did happen to her, but she didn't let that stop her. At the same time, she knew who she was, and she didn't let that label as an Olympic gymnast, as a gold Olympic gymnast, or any label define her. She was able to stand up at the Olympics and walk away because her mind was not in that mindset. She was dealing with so many external things, she was not able to perform at her value and what she believed she would be her best performance. Because she knew who she was on the inside out. How many people can say they've done that? And not worry about what other people are going to think, throw away millions of dollars in sponsorships, but being able to stand up for who she was. That's what we need to teach our kids, not hold them back based on labels. And the sad part is we live in a society right now, and I used to belong to a whole bunch of autistic support groups. And so many parents are so obsessed with labels when it comes to the gender. What is my kid? That we're going backwards and that's fine. When it comes to a boy, girl, what it is, we're not even giving them a label in that sense. We're not teaching them what it means to be a boy, what it means to be a girl. We do in my house, but society is like, we're just going to raise them gender neutral. So they never even learn what it means to be that thing. So they have no standard of what to... Yes, sir.
Mary, what you just stated that the educational system in the United States in particular is committed to doing is creating a mindset of confusion.
Correct.
Confusion is the main tool of the devil. I'm telling you, this is... Yeah, I'll take this discussion to anybody with the highest level of degrees in their life. And I'll get right down to this very simple thing. When you put a state of confusion in a child's mind, they can never get a sense of self-worth because will never know who they are. And
Correct.
So it is absolutely critical to allow a child that God created who they are to evolve, develop, nurture, and lift up. And doing that, they can overcome. I was listening to a video the other day, and there's this young man, I think he's 10 years old, and he's autistic and blind. And he sang the most wonderful song, a modern-day hymn, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. And I'm telling you, I was in tears. Because what this kid has accomplished is, in spite of all the what people would label, you call it shortcomings, people would label as constraints, and its ability for that young man to touch and affect this world. He did more in one 3-minute song than I've heard people spend whole days on television talking about, yelling about, screaming about, trying to impress, and I'll tell you what, I'll put his heart up against anybody in anything because he knows who he is. There's no confusion in his heart, in his mind, because he couldn't sing with that song with purity if he had been taught to know who he was.
And he became that way because he wasn't raised with labels. Kids with autism that are raised like regular kids adapt in life better and become better kids and with empathy and with and I hate to say this word, but they become more like regular kids than kids that are raised with labels and raised that they're special.
But yep. If the truth was really told, you guys, there's this part of the human nature of teaching to label things. So when the United States made an agreement years ago, over 100 years ago, with foreign countries to buy fruit and trees, somebody accidentally put a comma between fruit and trees, which made it two separate things, which cost us $80 billion extra dollars a year in tax. Here I am, born under the mighty sign of Aquarian. In school, they call you H2O. The Latinos call you agua. Regular Americans, if there's such thing as regular things, and they put alkaline and boost it with this, some people call it water. So there's some people call you a pond. Some people say you're a lake. Some people say you're a river. Some people say you're the ocean. Some people call you rain. It's all water. Religion. Watch this. Steer very carefully right here, because you've heard me say it. You've heard Ron say it. We have no hidden agendas. We don't mind giving a shout out to the divine creator. That's what I call him. Ron calls him God. This person over there calls him Yahweh. This person over here calls him the creator. It doesn't matter. You can call it by a thousand names. It is what it is. So that's why I said that now the barriers have to be broken down. No one ever asked you. I'm last one, Ron. Last one, Mary. I don't go back. I hate crawling into the past. But when something happened called 911, they said, stop, push the pause button. We want everybody, that means all inclusive. They did not tell you that you had to pledge your heart to the flag. No one ever asked you to bow your head. No one ever asked you to speak it in tongues. You have a right to remain silent. But this is my point, Ben, is what we call one nation under love. It needs no interpretation. You can call it what you want to call it. Last part. Here's what I want you to hear. Love is not love until one gives. Oh, did y'all hear that word? Gives. He gave his only begotten son. Gives. Love is not love until one gives it away. So if you, I'm talking to you now, want to experience some love today, then you start by going out and giving some love, some hope, and some kindness away. All the labels in it, because when you give love, hope, and kindness away, eventually it will come right back your way. Back your way, Mary.
You know, and that's so true. And I live with that every day in my life, because, you know, I have an exceptional daughter who believes everybody in this world is good. And the ones that are bad are the ones that didn't get enough love and need more love to be good. We're still learning stranger danger. She's still not comprehending that one. But thank goodness we live in a small town, so we don't have to worry about it too much. But, you know, the first thing that, you know, you research autism. They tell you
Dr.
that
King
kids...
Must have, Mary, not meaning to interrupt you, but Dr. King must have been autistic too. The person that bullied me, Mom, they didn't really mean to hit me. They just needed some more attention. Last one, Mary. we talked about being conditioned in the family, in the household, mm-hmm. being touched, being hugged, attaboy, give you a thumbs up, give you a high five. Derek and I was high-fiving last night over the airways about midnight. Give me a high five, Derek. He said, okay, country boy, we high-fiving. We're speaking love language without even seeing each other. But here's the crazy part, you guys. As they label all this stuff they set in front of us, whether you've been taught or mistaught, it still comes back down to it has a name, a label written on it. Grandmama simplified it to me, country. There's two sides to everything. She told me, baby, there's dark and light. He says, I'm the truth and I am the light. There's good and there's bad. It's a never-ending battle, good versus evil. Up, down, front, back, good, bad. This is where we have to really grow up. I know that you was labeled. You remember I told you the guy that went to school and this person went to school following in his dad's footsteps. And all of a sudden, after 6 years into his medical industry, being over $2 million in debt, I asked him at 44 years of age, what do you really want to do? No, I said, not what you want to do. Who are you? You know what, country boy? No one has ever really asked me that. I was following in my daddy and my granddaddy's footsteps, and they told me from the time I was a child that you're destined to be a doctor. I said, well, what do you really love? He said, I really wanted to be in the band.
You know,
that's music to my ears.
But you see, he's labeled, y'all. They told him he was going to be a doctor. He believed them. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I wanted to be. They said, well, what are you going to do, country boy? I want to be an astronaut. Why? Because I want to fly to the moon like Lynn Kane. And never come back. Everybody wants to be somebody labeled based on what you've been taught. My first superhero was Flash. Why? I could run around the world and bless people and be back before dinner time, before sundown, because if I'm not home before sundown, Houston, we got a problem. Flash. What does that mean? Labeled. We've been taught labels.
Well, yeah. You know,
it's hard to it's hard to maneuver around it,
and it is. But we don't. You don't let the label define who you are. It's, you know, you brought up 9/11, and you know that brought us into war, and you had a few young dumb soldiers doing really stupid shit, literally, and they joined the military for the wrong reasons. They did the wrong things. They did everything against what we believe in, what we do. But because of that, all military personnel were labeled. You know, you had protests at funerals and everything else. Jump forward
Mary,
how many years?
Maybe let me interrupt you one more. I got to go. I got one more last thought before I leave. I talk a lot, but I have a lot to say. When
You're
I said,
up.
Okay, hang on. When I said earlier, one nation under love, we already know that after we're broadcasting to 90-plus countries in 60-something-plus languages on every social network in the world, if you are a Buddhist, if you follow Krishna, if you are Catholic, he's a Presbyterian, I'm a Southern Baptist. One nation under God. I said ponds, lakes, rivers, streams, ocean, rain, water, been labeled all kinds of things. There is one King of Kings, one Lord of Lords, one. It doesn't matter if we are about our fathers. I said our father's business. That's why we can do what we do on this platform and crush the barrier of religion. I hate the word religious. I'm going to show you one more thing. All religions are good religions. We've been taught to walk, talk to write, talk to do all these things. Religions is nothing but a learning institution for you to better and closen your relationship with whoever you say created you. But I'm not going to have the audacity to run up to you and tell you, oh, we don't do it like that over here. We don't say that over there. You have the audacity to tell me that your God is better than my God? Your father, our father is better than my father? I'm confused now. So that's why I said we have one nation under love. Doesn't matter if you came in on the short bus like Country Boy and they labeled you boy genius. Doesn't matter. If you grab, here comes Ron, doesn't matter to us at the Hope Collection, the Hope Foundation, whether you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail. We have one major thing in common. We have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you. Why? Because we care. Oh, there goes another label. Care enough to share. Oh, I like that word. So that you'll know. I like that word too. What you need to know in order to grow. Yeah. So that you can grow. Last one. It's a blessing to be a blessing. Shakespeare wrote it and gave it to Hamlet. Hamlet said to be or not to be. Is that really the question or is that the answer to the question? Are you to be a blessing? Are you to be kind? I told you, practice it. Practice doesn't mean you get perfect. Practice means you only get better and better and better. So whatever it is you do, here's the twist. Don't miss it. Do unto others before they do unto you. Because when you give some love, some hope, and kindness away, eventually it will come right back to you. In closing, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little.
You know, when you're talking about that, you know, it reminds me back, I'm an 80s kid, so, you know, back the 80s insults, you know, your mama wore combat boots or my daddy can beat up your daddy. Comments like that.
It was still a label. Mm-hmm. It was still a label. Hey, y'all, I'm a little in and out. I just wanted to give my regards and say howdy. I wanted to know, were there any questions that I could help, you know, answer, or if you had questions for me, Mary?
I have a couple for you. You know, if you follow her show, and she's a regular guest on all of the shows, you know, she's got a special gifted child like I do. And, you know, we talked off the air a little bit about, you know, you struggled at first, like we all do, treating our mm-hmm. kids differently when they get that label. And
for
allowing
sure.
behaviors at first to be okay when it's not, just because of that label, we excused it. Now, how did you overcome it?
Ooh, okay. So, when I first found out, as a lot of parents go through this thing, you immediately think it's your fault. It's your fault. It's the doomsday. Oh, my God, my kid, and I'm just going to say it, my kid's retarded because that's where some of my brain goes. My kid is slow. is he's going to have a hard life. And I should have ate differently. And I shouldn't have got the Pitocin. I shouldn't have got the vaccine. I shouldn't have, should have, could have, would have, should have. Stop. Just stop right there. Some of you have been here. Some of you are arriving here. And some of you are here like I am, and you can laugh your way through it and help a fellow parent, you know, come up out of the dark. So I'm taking off the veil of labeling. It's not a death sentence. It's a label to try to put your abnormal, amazing, wonderful, terrific child that you have brought Earthside in a box because they can't explain the extraordinary beings that they are. So they put it in a box, they put a label and put a box on it, put it in a box and put a label on it. And then now you walk around with this label on your back and it's carrying all the weight. So now you turn into the, whoa, it's me. Oh, he did that because he's autistic. Oh, I'm sorry my child hit your child. He's autistic. Oh, I'm sorry that, you know, he made a mess on the floor. He's autistic. No. No, 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 and no. He made a mess on the floor because he's what? He's three. He hit a kid too hard because he's what? He's 10 and he's tired of being bullied. Oh, they spoke their mind. Just, oh, she gave you her 2 cents and gave you a nickel and a dime worth of it and you needed it, so you shot up. So you got handled by a kid and you don't know how to handle your emotions. So all the things. We make excuses, but now it's time to remove that label. Create your own narrative. Do what it is you want to do when you do what you do, when you do how you do, when you do what you do, in my country voice. I hope I said it right, country.
Oh, no, you said it perfectly, you know. I went through that when my son was 3 because he was in a preschool for special kids. And in the United States, we have this logic that if we take all these kids that are special, put them all in a room, they're going to learn how to be like every other kid in the world. Really? It's like putting a bunch of babies in a room and expecting them not to, one cry, expecting none of them to cry. Seriously. And
Mary.
So he bit another kid, and they deemed him as a threat because he's 3 and he's autistic. I go, seriously? You take a 3-year-old in any preschool, he's going to bite somebody. It's just their defense mechanism. They don't know how to hit you yet.
Yeah.
That's their only defense.
What's he going to say, Cassie?
Here he comes again. We're going to use the children to confound the wise. You took an 8-year-old, Ariana, Ron calls her the little princess, and put her on international radio doing the opening for every show that's going to be archived for the rest of your life and the rest of our lives. A child, a boy child that went down to take Goliath out to lunch and was Uber Eats before Uber was ever born, anointed before they was appointed, a boy genius. I was my business partner. They labeled him. We rode on the short bus together. Xavier Roberts, 1972, says hello to the world with the Cabbage Patch dolls. Made the world believe that a baby doll was real. So all these things that children are doing, it's not like they haven't had superpowers all along. Georgette just gave a prime example on how you was handled by a child. You can tell a child, go to the door and see and tell them I'm not here. And the kid will go open the door and say, my mama says she's not at home. They have a
for
real
sure.
Humble way of presenting the truth, but when it comes right down to it, we're right now being summoned. Georgette gave me what we call, y'all heard me use the word superpowers, super friends. Georgette, What did you say to the parent that labeled your kid and made try to make you feel bad? And she said, your kid, how did you reverse the superpowers on her?
She said, oh, I'm your son, he's autistic. I said, yes. She said, oh, I'm just so sorry. I said, oh, you're sorry? Why are you sorry? She said, you know, you raising him. And I said, shit, parenting hard for everybody, not just kids with superpowers. And I said, well, you know what, sweetie? That's okay. I'm sorry, your kid, regular. And walked off on her. Like, I'm so sorry, sweetheart. You got this, your kid just bad, and he disrespectful, and mine, I'll do that. So I'll take what the good Lord gave me. Thank you so much. But I'm sorry, your kid, regular. You and your regular kid, y'all have a good old plain day.
Okay, last example. I'm a teacher. I spent 20-something years in the school system working with the ones that had been labeled that nobody could understand their thinking. So we had a problem that we was trying to solve. The problem was that this day, to this very day, in a little bitty place called South Africa, there's a place called South Africa to daily, there's more people dying of thirst daily than everybody combined in the world that died from the virus. Here's my brain teaser. They ran 7.4 kilometers is 9 American miles. North is the smallest. Oh, I forgot. It's the largest river in the world. It's called the Nile River. Water usually flows from north to south. So the Nile is way up here, only 9 miles away from South Africa, which was way down there. But we, as adult people, figured out how to run 6,000 miles of pipeline through the frozen ocean and cut through the mountains in Canada and get oil out there. And then we figure out how to get no water to South Africa. I asked the children. They stood up and jumped up with their hands in the air. I pointed to the little young girl who's 7 years old, and she said, Mr. Dorsey, why don't they just dig a ditch?
Yep.
Think about it. Water will cut its own trail. You don't even need pipes. It goes where it wants to go, south.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a few rivers here that actually flow north. I live right by one. There's 3 in the state of Minnesota.
That's because of the Earth's gravitational pull.
I know. My son's learning that right now. By fun. For fun. I have one of those few kids that you actually have to force him off of learning because he likes to learn.
But Mary, last one for you.
Go ahead.
But it's not just the children that we're talking about. Push to refresh, re-energize, rearrange, redo, readjust, readapt buttons so that everybody can be in position to receive their reward. We are prisoners locked up in our own minds using ignorance. Ignore, the root word for ignorance. Forgive them, Father, because they know not. We can't keep pleading ignorance anymore. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know they had special programs over here. Oh, I didn't know that they was a Hope Collection that had this arm and this arm and this arm and this arm. I didn't know. If you don't know, ask somebody. Last one. Granddaddy said, country boy, if you are the smartest person in your group, then you need to find yourself some new friends. Why? And why do you think I got super friends? Why? Because my mechanic changes my oil for $13.95. It'll take me an hour and a half, and I have to get my fingernails dirty. I'll let him be my mechanic. You know what? I brush my teeth every day by myself. I don't even have to tiptoe to brush my teeth. But I got a dentist. Why? Because my granddaddy says, country boy, if you're the smartest person on your team and everybody's kind of like you and they put you in a box, they're going to create jealousy.
Yeah, haters. Haters, right there in your household, right there in your school. You call them your best friend. They just dress up real pretty, and they got a pretty car.
But here's my point. Here's the thing about these friends that are in your life. If they're creating jealousy and they compete with you, we don't compete with you. We complete you. You don't have to know everything we know. You might be a brain surgeon and did 10 million surgeries, but what's going to happen if you need surgery? It's a blessing to be a blessing. If everybody could bless themselves, they wave a wand over themselves and hook themselves up, and if they're not too selfish, then take their little selfish button off, they'll sprinkle their family too. It's a blessing to be a blessing. We're here to bless you in the areas of your life that you've been pleading ignorance. If you know better, you can do better.
Amen. So true. Mary, this has been a wonderful show. It was really important. When I first looked at this, I said, wow, understanding labels and understanding who you are, it really makes a lot of sense. And it's so important in the work that we do to help people, because everybody has been labeled. I don't care who they are. And it could be a label that doesn't really fit them, but everybody has been labeled. And it's really important for us to help them to understand that and help them to understand how to overcome that and how to be better. And it doesn't matter if they're children, if they're adults, or if they're women or men or whatever they are. It doesn't matter. It's our responsibility, because that's what God wants us to do, to help people. It's not just helping us to help them to get rid of their labels, but to help them to understand what it is they really are and what it is that they really want to accomplish and how we can help them to accomplish that and to make for a better world for everybody. And that's so important. And thank you, Mary, for having this show dedicated to this, because it's extremely important. Because so many people don't accomplish things that they could accomplish in their life if they weren't labeled at some point earlier in their life. And it's just so important for us to help people to understand that and help them to overcome that. So thank you, Mary. We appreciate you.
And I hear Marvin Gaye singing. I hear Marvin Gaye singing in the background. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. We got to change the world, starting with you and starting with me.
Well, this is leading into our talk next Wednesday. Maybe Monday too. I think we're going to need 2 days for this talk. But on this whole thing about being transgender and shooting our kids up with hormones and not understanding, you know, what we're doing to our kids by not teaching them male and female roles, how giving them all this information and targeting our kids, and like Ron said, a state of confusion actually does more harm than good. And understanding what you're doing when they're very, very young has a permanent effect on them for their life.
Yep.
So we are out of time for today. Thank you all for joining me.
Well,
join
thank
us
you
tomorrow.
For...
And... Go ahead.
God bless you all, and Mary, God bless your family and everybody's family and all of our friends. It's just a wonderful thing, the love that the country was talking about so much. And it's so very important in everybody's lives to love one another and to share that love that God gives us. Thank you again, Mary. God bless you.
You too. Join us tomorrow at 10 Eastern a.m. for our juice dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Georgette, and she talks about youth, healthy living, life, everything. And join us tomorrow afternoon at noon for Bob and Family Talk. And Georgette, I'm going to give you a call. I just found this article that I want you to look into.
Appreciate
Have a good day. See you guys here tomorrow morning. Bye for now.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary, and everyone.